Greetings. You are listening to Innovation Odyssey podcast. And in today's special pilot episode, we are going to introduce you to the podcast itself. My name is Christina, and I'm not the host of the podcast. But I'm here with one who actually is. Hello, Renu. How are you today?
I am very, very good, Christina. Okay, actually, let me dial back. It's really hot in Basel, Switzerland, where I am now. So I'm good, not very good.
Yeah, and not only in Basel. In Lausanne, where I am now, is the same. And I guess in whole Switzerland too. Next week, they predict it will be even worse.
Yes, but we complain about the things that we have, right, always?
Only about weather. But we have what we have. Anyway, Renu, in how many countries you've been to this summer?
Oh my God. I know in the last 2 weeks and 3 weeks, I've done two countries, and which are very different, namely Finland and India. But I think over this year, the first half of the year, I've done quite a few countries. It's been, how can I say it? It's been a little mini odyssey.
And speaking about odyssey, traveling, is this something that inspired you to choose this name, Innovation Odyssey Podcast?
That's a tricky one. I think it is exploring and learning about new things, and traveling is one of the ways to do that. I think it resonates very well with who I am and what I hope that the listener can get from the podcast. But I also think that, you know, as an innovator, you are constantly doing travel at short notice. If you start a company and you have a product or idea in mind, that's one journey. And then at one point, very quickly, you figure out it doesn't work. So you're then taking another detour. So I consider the journey of an entrepreneur really like a little hike, a little adventure. So for several reasons, the name, I really like the name. What does it mean to you, actually? As a listener, when you click on the podcast, what do you think you're going to get from the podcast?
Okay, so when I heard this name and combined these two words, the first thing that I saw was that you would get me traveling and exploring innovation around the world. And of course, as I know that this is a podcast, you'll probably interview people from around the world about their experience and their stories with innovation and maybe attitude to it. And I want here to finish defining the name and ask you about the first part of it, about innovation. The short question is, why innovation? I ask because I know you for a while, and you're such a diverse personality to me. And so I thought the podcast name could be, the podcast topic could be anything, from beauty to psychology, insurance, and relationship, finishing with pharma and like different kinds of businesses. So why innovation? And maybe we can talk here a little bit about your past. Do you have a tipping point in your life when you realize that this is it? This is something I want to tie my life with. With innovation, entrepreneurship, business, and all this kind of stuff.
Okay, so why a podcast on innovation? I think that people come up with new ideas or new companies because they find that the old things don't work. And so an innovator is someone who's done certain things in his or her life, learned from it, found that there's a better way of doing that thing or a different. I want to know a lot about that experience, because I think that that experience of potentially making a mistake or a failure and learning from it is very informative for the next generation of entrepreneurs, or even on for the personal development front. And the other reason is maybe the cliched phrase that change is the only constant thing in life and innovators are change makers. So I think that at least in the last 6 years, this theme has been, this is something I breathe in and out every day. It's my yoga breath. And I don't know when I realized that I want to be an innovator, entrepreneur or what my calling was. I wanted to do things differently from others, partly because of how I think there's always an improvement in the way that things have been done now. And also the partly is just like, I just like doing things my way. So that was always there growing up. And that at one point when I was working, I realized that I had an idea and that would be very powerful for the market. And that I felt that the only person who could do that was me. And I knew I had the idea and I kind of just knew I wanted to do it. And then I launched Luminant. And then since then to now, I look back and I just think that it is my urge to make an impact, to change the way things that are done, that drive my innovative mindset. So summarizing, I think I always manifested it just in different forms, even while working in traditional companies. But I wanted to give it the wings of converting ideas into execution with my entrepreneurial last few years. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, people are always talking about some moment in their life that change it, like pivoting point, you know. This is what I meant.
Ah, okay. That defined. Yes, I think that, okay, maybe to be clear, I was working in my last corporate job on starting off with a research topic, and then I worked on it, and then I went to the market to clients with it, and I saw how the information I had captured changed clients' action. I didn't know what the clients' problems were in depth. I just knew it top level because I was still very much in research mode. That was the role I had. But then when I was able to explain to them why they were seeing what they were seeing because of the research that was done, they really start making decisions that impacted their business. That's when I realized the power of education, the power of information, the power of data, and the fact that just a conversation for an hour or hour and a half could make a business write a line of business or not write a line of business. That knowledge really hit me in the face. And I said, well, then I am sitting on a gold mine. I should be able to transmit this information to the market at large. So maybe that was my watershed moment when I was in the US and I was talking to a few clients on part of the company I was working with. Probably that was the trigger moment. I mean, I didn't even realize then that this is where I would be now, but I just knew like I had to do something different. I just couldn't continue doing the same thing I was doing.
Do you consider yourself as innovator or entrepreneur more?
Okay, so this is actually a tricky topic. I mean, I haven't read any of the detailed books on innovation entrepreneurship. Just I did learned in the from the lessons from the Book of Life. But for me, innovation is either doing something a new way or doing something, improving something that was done in an old way, but just like making a marginal improvement. Innovation means both things, either a rapid step change or a very slow step change. Both of them are innovation. Entrepreneurship, on the other hand, is not innovation for me alone. You find a child on a street who's, let's say he or she sells something to earn some pocket money, that is an entrepreneur. Older retired person who decides that he wants to help others who are not digitally savvy and maybe charges his peers a little bit of a money to help them with their digital problems, that is an entrepreneur. Or anyone who hustles is an entrepreneur. So if you know you go to India and you have these hawkers sitting on the street selling their wares, that's an entrepreneur, right? And that is an entrepreneur because they have to make a living and they need to hustle to make a living. They have to find a way out of things, of the mazes that either society puts them into or they are into a maze. So you can be an entrepreneur and live your everyday life. And maybe while doing that, you can also innovate. For me, I am an entrepreneur. And that is always because I think that sometimes when you talk about innovation, you really think about doing something so radically different, something cool, something sexy. For me, that is not always listening to the client. Maybe the client does not want something that's cool or sexy. Maybe the client just wants his or her little problem solved. So if you can understand your client and you can figure out that little thing that needs to be done, then you are not only customer-centric, but you're also actually an entrepreneur. It's quite, I don't know, I mean, the question has actually really made me think about it, but I think I certainly am an entrepreneur.
Because for me, innovation, it's always about like digitalization and artificial intelligence and something that you can see, not always just a change, but always about technology. So I'm glad we defined it, what it means for you. So how can you describe your future guests?
I think that I would love to talk to people who identified a problem and then want to fix that problem. That would be the first kind of the criterion. Can be anything. I mean, obviously, I have an interest in tech considering all my previous background and what I do now. And the reason I think about tech is because it is scalable. And so they've identified a problem, they've fixed it, and now they're either identifying similar problems and they can fix more of those. That is one way of thinking about my guess. The second one is that because of my own personal background, I like to share the experiences of people who have originated in, say, place A, then for reasons they travel to place B and then to C and to D, and they do different things in these places. So the travelers, if they are entrepreneurs, I think that you will be hearing them about and from them in the podcast. And the reason is that when you live and you work in different places, your by default, your mindset has become so open. Because almost every place, and you will know this, Christina, you have to start your life from scratch. Right? You have to make your set of new friends, friends who are family, new experiences. And that brings such an element of creativity into your work and if you're starting a venture, into the venture. So that's why I believe that immigrants who've traveled and started business in different places, really unique in that they just really don't take no for an answer. They don't have a status quo because they have disrupted the status quo in moving to their new status. If you are someone who's found a problem and has a solution for that, and if you have this wealth of experiences, traveling, living and traveling in different places, then those are the kind of people that I would love to interview in this season.
You told that people travel from one place to another place, and I'm from Ukraine, and now people trying to settle there and drive innovation there and not move around. Do you think that by default you need to travel to have this open mindset, or like it's enough if you stay in your place and try to innovate, develop things there?
That is a very tough question, and I don't want to put people into that hold, but I actually think you should travel, at least for personal purposes. Yes, if you've lived, you know, if you are here, if you're in your home place all your life, that is all you know. So if you're in a developing country or a developed country, you are in your specific bubble. So a process fits that bubble. So you may know, this doesn't work. What do I do? But unless you go and have other experiences, you may not necessarily bring in the life, the experiences from all of those places to get out of the bubble or to fix it. Now, that being said, I am biased, right? I've traveled and I've done things. So I have this thing experience in my brain. But I do know that most of the people, they learn from other experiences. Just by traveling a bit, you can learn more And if you live in different places, the outlook is just very different.
But what I'm concerned about is that those people who travel, they never come back. They usually never come back to their hometown. So they like go and develop other countries and never come back to their own. So, and for instance, if they are from developing countries, so who will?
Yes, who will exactly? So I think that this is something that obviously you can imagine. I've thought about this a lot as well. Every time I go back to my home country, India, I always think about what can I give back. I will still do lots and lots of entrepreneurial work for the rest of my life, probably till the time you put me in my grave. That being said, I also don't know how the world will be 20 years later. I don't know whether my travels will take me back to India. But even if I didn't go back, I think there are ways of making that change happen in your home country. And there can be two ways. One is, I would call this the easier way, which is just money. You find an entrepreneur or you find a fund or a grant and then you feed money into that. That is one way of making a change. Or the other way is to co-found something. You are here and the co-founder is in India or your home country or Ukraine. That is another way of making the change by not being there. So I guess my point is, if you want to make things happen in any place, you can. You can do it even while staying away. Clearly the commitment is much more when you are there. So in that way, geography should not be a limiting factor. But that being said, for like, you know, something that's happening in Ukraine, to rebuild it, you need dearly people there. And you can choose to be there or not be there, but help work with someone there. So it's the flexibility, I think, of how you can make these relationships work that leads to also change and innovation.
Yeah, I agree with you at the point that if you want to make change, you will, no matter how far you are, you will just find your way. And if you don't, you will not. Even if you stay at your hometown, home country for ages, if you simply don't think about the change and how to make things change, you will not proceed. You said that change is innovation for you and it's a big part of your life, so you're thinking about innovation all the time. What are the recent innovation trends that excited you the most?
Oh, that is such a broad question. And, you know, there are two things that recently has excited me. As you know, I work for a quantum computing center, just learning about quantum computing and everything related to it, how quantum can solve problems in different fields, the technology, the science behind it, and the possibilities. That just in general, that has excited me for the past few months. And it's, you know, it's a lot living like an entrepreneur's dream. Like you go in to this new technology that is evolving so quickly. You see the improvements that each of the companies do. For me, it's just amazing because quantum is very different from classical computing, from hybrid. It is a completely different level. You have to think about things very differently. And I realized that my brain has to be trained to think about things that differently. So a lot of the trends that have excited me, I have to say, in the last few months, it's been about quantum. And obviously for privacy reasons, I can't get to the clear use cases that excites me, but there is a lot happening that just like you just sit there and you're talking about it and you wonder whether you are going to be alive to see the full benefit of this technology. The other thing that I always get excited about, irrespective of the technology trend, is the people, right? And it's really listening to entrepreneurs who go through so much in their personal and professional lives to commit to something that matters to them, to build something that matters to them. That is eternal, right? And that, agnostic of the trends, that has always excited me. So yes, quantum and its possibilities and the power of the ability to believe in you and your team that you can change things. These are the two really interesting things. I mean, you can see, well, I'm talking about quantum, so I'm not talking about a lot of the other things, because I really think quantum is like the pinnacle right now. Clearly, there are other things like large language models, how LLMs can be used across industries. So what ChatGPT has done, it has almost democratized large language models. It's made it accessible to everyone. Accessible in quotes, but people are aware of what that does. That I have been kind of watching from the sidelines to see everyone talk about ChatGPT. I think that's been kind of interesting as well, you know. It's become this new code word. Do you know about ChatGPT? I mean, you have to know about ChatGPT.
Each time you tell me about quantum computing, it blows my mind. And the moment you realize that some people behind it created this technology, it blows my mind even more. It is really very fascinating. And ChatGPT, I can't imagine my life without it anymore.
Yes, but I think that I also, when I go to events or talk to people, I always like have in the back of my mind, does the customer need this? You know, I'm almost a cynic to the new technologies in that if the customer doesn't want it and we are pushing it on them, it will not stick. So in that way, I'm a little bit quite grounded when it comes to technologies. While I am excited about new things, I always have this little nagging voice in the back of my head saying, that will work, that may not work. You know, that process has already started. Which it didn't. I didn't have it like 5 years ago. I guess a sign of having done this enough. And so I always have to kind of pick myself up and say, okay, keep an open mind. You don't know what or how the sun is going to look tomorrow. We know it's going to rise. So yes, there's a little bit of cautious optimism around new trends.
What are the trends that, on the contrary, disappointed you the most?
Disappointing trends. I think AI, as it's been promoted, is going to take some time to become really whatever level of AI we talk about. Some sectors in the world, they adopt it, they use it more. I was hoping that more and more industries would really adopt it and use it. But I, knowing what I know and now that the projects that we've worked on, data is always a blocker. So I am slightly disappointed about what the possibilities of AI and how it didn't really go that far yet. But like, I mean, for as an example, if I have an app and I can combine my exercise with my doctor's prescriptions, with my nutrition, what I eat, then something about my mood, then it might be very nice to actually have a holistic projection of what I need to do in terms of exercise, eating, things for mental health that I need to do for the next day, right? And that is completely possible with true AI. Maybe I'm ambitious, but that's something that I would like to do where all the data on me can tell me what I should do so that my day tomorrow is better than my day today. I would love us to get there. There are obviously problems of ethics and privacy, but the technology is there. Really, the models are there. They're being improved. The data can be collected there. But just what I said, it requires so many parts of the world to talk together. And that collaboration will just take a lot of time. So I think technology in terms of evolution, I don't have a problem. Technology in terms of execution, yes, I think I'm disappointed.
We'll get there.
We will get there. And I think this will be also the power of the podcast, right? Because you bring together people like that who believe in the power of innovation to really change our lives. And we can listen to their stories. I think that is sitting in this room, in this part of the world, I can hear about innovation and the readers can hear about innovation that originated in Mexico or in China or wherever else. We are global. I love that. So all our problems, the solutions to our problems can be done globally. And that is a very optimistic note to perhaps close this pilot episode.
Yes, let's end. That was Innovation Odyssey podcast. Thank you.
Goodbye.